Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Dodges a man at the 5. Into the end zone. Touchdown! Fred Jackson. Touchdown, Buffalo.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Pressured, and he is sacked. It is Marcel Darius, Mr. Big Stuff.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football, right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York. Tonight, joining Murph are Bills' new quarterback, Matt Flynn, former Bill and CBS football analyst, Steve Tasker, and from the Buffalo News, Bud Bailey on his new book, that and your phone calls tonight on The John Murphy Show.
This place is pandemonium!
Buffalo ball! Kiko Alonso picks up the tip pass for the interception!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Real live radio on the air from 7 to 9 p.m. tonight. Good evening. Welcome to One Bills Drive. We're broadcasting on Wednesday nights, as we do on Wednesday nights, from the Buffalo Bills press box, from the radio booth inside Ralph Wilson Stadium. Happy to have you with us here tonight, and want to hear from you tonight. You heard the lineup. Steve Tasker is going to join us a little bit later on next hour, actually, 8 o'clock, to talk about he's going to broadcast the CBS version of the Bills and the Dolphins this week. We'll talk with Steve on his thoughts on the Bills so far and his thoughts on the Dolphins, what he's seen. He's already knee-deep in his research for the Bills-Dolphins game. We'll hear from Steve Tasker at 8 o'clock. We'll hear from my friend Bud Bailey at 8:30. Bud has written a book, Today in Buffalo Sports History, 366 Days of Milestones. Bud is an editor and reporter at the Buffalo News. He's compiled 366 entries of the finest and lowest moments in Buffalo sports history, put them in book form, and we'll talk with Bud about that. Plenty of Buffalo Bills moments in that book. And coming up a little bit later on this hour, the new quarterback for the Bills, Matt Flynn, who got his first practice in today, didn't get a whole lot of work in, but Matt Flynn will join us. He recently of the Oakland Raiders, before that Seattle, before that 4 years with the Green Bay Packers. We'll talk about his journey that brought him here to the Buffalo Bills. So that's the lineup tonight. We want to hear from you as well. And we want your thoughts on where the Bills stand. We're just about a third of the way. We're actually a little bit more than a third of the way into the season. Six games down, 10 games to go. And we wanted to know tonight kind of where you think the Bills stand after the first third of the season in this respect, on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, I think they're okay, especially when you think of this fact that they started a rookie quarterback for five games and then played another quarterback, a guy with little experience in the NFL, for the sixth game, the guy they're going to have to stay with for a while. Offensively, they're running the ball pretty well. They're putting points up on the board. They're averaging 22.7 points per game so far through six games. You can win some games averaging 23 points per game. But defensively, where do you think this Bills team is this year? And in particular, are they better defensively than they were 1 year ago? I think they're more exciting. I think they've created more big plays. Interceptions, they're among the league leaders in interceptions so far this year. They don't really get a lot of fumbles, or at least they have not got a lot of fumbles so far this year. But they create pressure. They're top 10 in sacks per play, top 5 in interceptions per game. But the question is, do you think they're better? I mean, against the run, they're still struggling, just like they did last year. The Buffalo Bills against the run have a problem, ranked 28th in the league, 14th on a per-rush basis. What that tells you is the Bills are giving up a lot of yardage, but they're on the field for a lot of plays, a function of their up-tempo offense. By the way, as a corollary, do you know the Bills have run more plays than any other team in the NFL so far this year? 72 plays per game average, more than any other team. They're running a lot of plays. They're on the field for a lot of plays. And as a result, they're struggling to stop the run, 28th in the league against the run, 14th in the league, right about middle of the pack when it comes to yards per rush. And that's obviously a little bit better. But third downs, not real good, 22nd in the league. Overall defense, 27th in the league. Is that much of an improvement from last year? We know about the changes. Brand new defensive coordinator, Mike Patton, brand new style of defense. Obviously, Kiko Alonso has been a valuable addition, the rookie middle linebacker who has not come off the field at all in there on virtually every play defensively. Some new people up front, especially Alan Branch, who's had to play now with Alex Carrington out. A revolving door in the defensive backfield with the injuries there. Think about what's going on there. They just finally are getting Stephon Gilmore back into the mix. They are just finally getting Jairus Byrd back into the mix. So there are mitigating circumstances, I'll give you that. But is the Buffalo defense better now than it was a year ago? Do they have potential to be better? I think they do. They absolutely do, once everybody gets healthy. But have they been better so far than they were a year ago? Let us know what you think. I think the jury's still out on that. I'm not so sure, at least production-wise. And, again, I understand people coming back, you know, with Byrd coming back now and Stephon Gilmore working himself back into the lineup. I think they have potential to get better. They have made big plays, interceptions, some sacks. But I'm not so sure that, at least on a production basis, to date, 6 games in, I'm not so sure that they're that much more productive defensively than they were a year ago. Let us know what you think. Phone lines are open. 803-0550 is the number to call. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can always reach us and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Do you think the Bills' defense is ahead of where they were a year ago? And if so, where and how? We can talk about potential. We can talk about what's to come. And I do think as we move forward into the season, when Byrd gets back into it, when Stephon Gilmore is healthy and ready to go, obviously, I think this defense has potential to get much better. But right now, 6 games in, do you think the Buffalo defense is better than it was a year ago? 803-0550, the number to call. There are phone lines open right now. Toll-free outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. A couple of tweets already. Robert Armstrong tweets, and the best I can say is that they're so much better than last year, and yet we haven't seen them anywhere near their best. Not yet. I would agree with that. I do think the best is yet to come from this Buffalo defense. I think they have a plan defensively with Mike Pettine. I think they have an attacking, aggressive style, which serves them well. But production-wise, I don't know. Tyler Trump tweets in, the Kelvin Shepard trade to get Hughes was key, especially having lost Alex Carrington for the year. Kiko has been the glue, and I wouldn't disagree with that either. I wouldn't disagree with that. Charlie Oswald tweets in, I think our D is on the upswing. We actually have a pass rush this year. I think it will continue to get better. Yeah, I'm on board with all of that. I do think they'll continue to get better. I think when everybody's healthy, they're going to be a lot better than they are now. But to date, right now, can you honestly say the Buffalo defense is better now than it was last year, 6 games into the season? We read some tweets. We can take your calls, too. 803-0550, the number. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550 is the number to call. Start with Frank in Getzville. Hi, Frank. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, John. I think the defense is so much better this year, and I believe that you'll see more results as the defense gets better because, you know, when the offense milks the clock a little bit more and they have those long drives, I believe that you will see a much big difference. And the secondary, especially McKelvin, you know, I think before the season began, I kind of told you, I thought he was going to have a good feeling he was going to have a good season. And I think he's having a career year so far. Too bad he was injured a couple of games. But I think as time goes by, you'll see even a better defense than you see now.
Okay. I can't disagree with that. I do think Liotis is having a career year in the secondary. I would agree with that. Obviously, he needs to get loose on punt returns and in the return game. But, yeah, and I think Liotis has grown up. I think he's matured, and I think he's simply taken to the coaching that Donnie Henderson has provided. I think they're getting great coaching on the back end of that defense when you see what Liotis McKelvin has been able to do and when you see the way they've kind of held it together through all the injuries. Let's take a call from Dave in Williamsville. Hello, Dave. Welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show, Dave.
Hi, Dave. John, thanks for taking my call. I would agree with the last caller. I think they're doing incredibly well. I can't fathom what these coaches have gone through week to week. Jim Leonard, you pull off the street. People wanted to cut Aaron Williams. People were thinking Searcy might have been cut before the preseason was over. And they look incredibly good. You know, Lewis McAlvin, people were thinking he was a bust. And he's had a great year. I mean, people, I just think once they get healthy, you're going to see a different kind of defense. I've been disappointed. The Jets game was disappointing. Some of the throws against Cleveland, Williams got beat, were disappointing. I think it was expecting help on that play. There was a 4th and 15 on Sunday, which really was a bit rough. But, I mean, I think you're just going to see better things to come.
All right, Dave, thanks very much. One question for you, Dave. You still there?
Yes.
What about defense against the run? Does that trouble anybody that on a consistent basis they've not been able to stop their opponents from rushing the ball? Like, what did I say there? Again, they're 14th on a per-play basis against a run, but 28th overall. They give up a lot of yards on the ground, this team does. They do. The Bills' defense gives up a lot of yards on the ground.
I know they do. It just hasn't seemed like that big of a thing to me. At least I haven't noticed it. When I look at the games on an individual basis, I look at about 2 or 3 long passes against the Jets, a couple plays and a quarterback loss against Cleveland, a couple passes on the last drive against New England, and we're talking about maybe a 5-1, maybe a 4-2 Buffalo Bills team. I know what you're saying about the stats. It just hasn't seemed as that much of a big deal with respect to the run.
All right. Maybe the run doesn't matter anymore. There are people who will argue that it doesn't matter if you stop the run as long as you get takeaways. Here's a call from Rick in Akron, Ohio. Hi, Rick. Welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show.
Hey, John. It's actually Nick.
Nick. Okay.
Question for you. Do you know how many points per game the defense is letting up this year compared to last year?
I don't have last year's numbers in front of me. This year they're giving up 26.2 points per game. I do not, because we're in the press box, I don't have those numbers at my fingertips.
Okay.
Well, I can probably find it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I would say that would probably play a big factor in the, kind of how they're performing this year compared to last year, improvement-wise. But I think it's a lot more exciting to watch them this year for sure. I agree with you on that. Definitely seems like there's a lot more plays being made, and I would say, the injury bug is definitely something that factors in there as well. But overall, I mean, if those points per game match up, I would say they're pretty much improved from last year to this year, just from a standpoint of, how fun they are to watch. So, statistically, if it's, a little bit better, then great, but I think they're heading in the right direction for sure.
So I just crunched the numbers. So last year they gave up 27.2 points per game. So far this year they're giving up 26.2 points per game.
Okay.
So a little better.
I mean, a little bit better. I would say that's definitely some sort of improvement. So I think so. I would say yes to that.
Okay. Thanks very much for your call, Nick. We put the question on the table. The Buffalo defense, are they better off than they were a year ago? What do you think? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. The lines are open. 803-0550, the number to call. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. The numbers mean something. They don't mean everything. The numbers mean something, obviously, when you look at a team that, as we just said, gives up one fewer point per game than they did a year ago. The yards on the ground, troubling, because they still are susceptible to giving up yards on the ground. The turnovers, the takeaways, obviously improvement there, as you might expect with an attacking defense like they have right now. The sacks, a pretty obvious improvement from a year ago, which you might expect from the attacking defense they have right now. I guess one of the things I think about is when you look at the production on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, this is a 2-4 team. They haven't, they have not found success yet. But offensively, they're fairly productive. One of the top running games in the league. They average about 22 points per game, 22, 23 points per game that they're putting up on the scoreboard. I feel like they should be getting more with that kind of production offensively. And I feel like the Bills, and I think they're slow starters defensively too, which is a problem. I think it takes them a while to get into games and begin to shut down opponents. They seem to have played from behind in an awful lot of games this year. I just feel like they should be getting more from that defense on a production basis. Are they taking the ball away? Absolutely. I mean, 3 interceptions from Jim Leonard, who was signed the week before the season began. That's a pretty good pickup. Aaron Williams, I think, has done whatever they've asked him to in terms of playing safety and corner. Obviously, they're getting great production out of Kiko Alonso with room for improvement there as well. But are they getting enough? Are they getting enough? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Mike in Buffalo. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Murph, how are you, man?
Okay.
I think there's something missing in the middle of our defensive line. I think everything is fine as far as the speed on the edges. Our linebackers are a lot more active than they were last year with the addition of Kiko. But I think Darius and Williams, as good as they are, it's not that tandem thing that we need there. And both of them can't be getting double teamed. You know what I mean? No offensive line can give up 4 guys versus 2. So I think the biggest problem is that when we get gashed up the middle, there's something not happening with those guys. I don't know what's happening, but, maybe you have a better insight of what's going on, because people run right up the gut on us.
Yeah.
We got 2 of the best nose tackles, interior linemen in the league.
Yeah. No, good point, and I wish I had
one more thing, Murph.
Yeah.
One more thing. Robert Woods, it was a show last week. I didn't get a chance to talk or call you, but you know who he reminds me of, and I'm showing my age a little bit.
Who's that?
And you're right there with me, so I don't feel so bad. So he reminds me of Frank Lewis.
Wow.
You remember Frank Lewis?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wide receiver for the Bills back in the day.
Love Frank Lewis, yeah.
He was, that smooth kind of gliding kind. You know what I mean? He has that veteran presence already as a young guy.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Frank Lewis. Big time.
I like that a lot, Mike. Yeah, I love that comparison. And I love Frank Lewis. I love the way he played. By the time the Bills got him, obviously, in the – what, late 70s, early 80s, he was a finished product. I mean, coming over from the Steelers, he was, you know, right out of the box, ready to play and contribute. But I think Robert Woods, you're right, has some of the same qualities. I think Robert Woods is going to benefit from an offseason workout plan, too, where he gets a little bit bigger upper body so that he can get off jams and get downfield. But I like what I see from him a lot so far. I do think that's a very good comparison. Here's Tony in Buffalo. Hi, Tony. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, I think our defense is much improved. You know, if the offense can stay off the field a little bit, then, I mean, you know, if offense can stay, you know, help the defense out, then we'll be perfect.
Yeah, not a bad point, and those numbers are borne out when you look at the Bills on a per-rush basis. They're 14th in the league, and overall against the run, they're 28th in the league, indicating that they've been run against more than a lot of teams. I mean, they're not blameless. They, too, have had some issues trying to get off the field the defense, but they would benefit from a more ball-control offense, which I don't think they're interested in running here, which is fine. I mean, they want to be up-tempo, fast-paced. I think they have slowed down the tempo a little bit in the last couple of weeks, but not to a great degree. And maybe that's always going to be the case as far as number of plays run against. We'll get back to this in a moment. Your thoughts on the Buffalo defense. Are they as good as they can be? Do you expect improvement down the road? And is the defense better now after six games than it was last year? We'll open up phone lines again in a moment. But first, we want to get to the daily rundown of the news of the day. It's the Kumho Tire Daily Rundown. Dunn Tire and Kumho Tires, the official tire of the Bills, giving Dunn Tire customers an exclusive offer. You can get a $50 instant rebate plus a free Bills cap with the purchase of four Kumho brand tires. Visit DunnTire.com for details. Kumho Tires, let's go. The Bills in practice today inside the field house as it rained here in Orchard Park. They cranked up the heat a couple of degrees to sort of simulate the hot, steamy weather they will see in Miami this Sunday. Forecast calling for a temperature in the high 80s with a chance of an early rain shower on Sunday in South Florida. So the Bills at work at practice today. After practice, head coach Doug Marrone met the media and updated the prognosis for E.J. Manuel. He was hurt in the Cleveland game a couple of weeks ago, and right now Doug Marrone says that E.J. Manuel is going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks from now. The earliest would be four. The latest would be 6 weeks, barring any setbacks. And Marrone was asked what he thought about that.
Am I disappointed? No. I mean, I want to make sure that he's healthy, you know, when he comes back. So, and again, you know, just because, you know, you say 4 to 6, it can be 4, it can be 6, it can be 3, it can be 7, you know, and that's, I think that's why you always get stuck. I mean, you know, it's always, you always get asked that time frame, and for some reason, everyone's always nervous about it. If a player returns earlier, I would think that's a great thing. You know, I mean, that's what we're always striving for. And, you know, if he returns later, it's always like, ugh, what happened? You know, what went on and things like that. So, you know, it's 4 to 6 weeks. And, you know, obviously, from a standpoint of being disappointed, we don't want him hurt at all. You know, I mean, that would be a way to go. But, you know, obviously where he is in a rehabilitation process, hey, I'm happy that we're going to get him back out there.
Yeah, 4 to 6 more weeks for E.J. Manuel with his knee sprain suffered 2 weeks from tomorrow. So that means Thad Lewis will get another game. And surprise to me, Thad Lewis went through full practice participation today after he injured his foot in the game last Sunday against Cincinnati. Marrone was asked about Thad Lewis and what he needs to see from him moving forward.
Well, I think we're working on it as an overall concept of the offense. You know, I think we're working on is making sure that, you know, the routes and the timing and the balls and the footwork and all are the same. So I don't think it's anything in particular to say, well, hey, we felt really poorly about this. I just think it's a matter of improvement, you know, on the accuracy, the route running, the managing, the same things you would be talking about with any new quarterback or young quarterback that you'd have in there.
In his case, where there was so much of a time gap between his first career start and his second one last week, the opportunity to come back and get right back at it this week.
Credit to him, because, you know, and I think it came out during the week that, you know, he always has been preparing for this, and he's always prepared himself, you know, for something like this to happen. And I think that's what you have to do, and that's what it means to be a pro. And I think that he's done a great job. So I think a lot of people, you know, may have been, if you didn't know Thad Lewis, you weren't around him or haven't really seen him or watched him practice, you know, I think a lot of people were surprised, you know, maybe by that performance. But, you know, I don't think anyone on the team, and I can't speak for everyone, was really surprised about, you know, the way he went out there and the way he went about his business, because that's been who he is since he really came on board.
Full practice for Thad Lewis today as he gets ready for his third NFL start, his second for the Buffalo Bills. He's had a chance to look at the video from the game against the Cincinnati Bengals, and we asked him to be specific what he'd like to improve on. We asked Thad Lewis what he'd like to improve on based off of last Sunday's game against the Bengals.
You know, just limited mistakes. Actually, I want to take care of the ball a little better than I did last time. You know, that was a costly fumble. So you don't never want to put your team in a predicament like that. So going in, take care of the ball, and you know maybe some of the reads I might have missed. You know, make sure you, you know, correct that this week.
Do you find when you look at the video and you see like you're talking about reads you might have missed, is it kind of like an aha moment? Like wow, how did I miss that? I mean, how, wait, over your career, how have you responded when you look at a game, your own game, I take?
Oh, you know, your worst critic. You know, you go in thinking like, you know, you should have had that. Maybe if it was just check the ball down here, there. You know, definitely the time where I fumbled. You know, I knew better than that. The quarterback got to take care of the football. So, you know, that was kind of discouraging. But, you know something I need to work on out here in practice, and that was ball security. So I did that today.
What will it mean to you to be playing in
life? It just means a lot. It means a lot playing in the NFL, period. But it's just extra. You know, you get to go home and play in front of people you know. You know, and people that know you, so, you know, that's a great opportunity.
Is this something you could have envisioned when you were having difficulty, you know, buying tickets or even seeing these guys on TV? Kind of?
Your dream as a child is to obviously get to this level, you know, but to be starring, you know, is a dream come true. So, you know, you just take it in stride and try to make the best of the situation.
Hey, Matt, to follow up on John's point, the amount of time between your first start and your second one, obviously a good deal of time went by. How different is it to have the opportunity to follow up right away in a week later?
I think it's better in a sense, you know, because it's the game plan and you know what you did. I had a whole offseason to think about some of the mistakes I made in that game, and then you go through preseason, don't play much, and then now 6 weeks into the season, then you get a chance to start. But, you know, I get to go the following week and do what I love to do and play quarterback. So, you know, hopefully you could build on it.
Thad Lewis talking about going home to Miami and talking about what he hopes to accomplish, how he hopes to get better this week as he gets set for his third NFL start, his second with the Bills. So on the injury report today, Manuel obviously did not practice. C.J. Spiller the day off because of a ankle injury, but Spiller says he should be okay for Sunday, and Marone echoes that. Jonathan Meeks obviously is on injured reserve, so he didn't practice. Kyle Williams got the day off with his Achilles. Limited practice today for Stevie Johnson, although he assures everybody that he'll be ready to play. Limited practice for cornerback Ron Brooks. He comes back from his broken foot. Limited practice for linebacker Manny Lawson, who left the game last Sunday with hamstring. And limited practice for Mario Williams with a bit of a hip problem. Full practice for quarterback Thad Lewis today. That's the Bills injury report. Around the league, couple of other notes, and it's bad news for the Patriots on the injury front. Linebacker Gerard Mayo, his season is over. The leading tackler on the team for the Patriots is out. He went on injured reserve yesterday. He underwent surgery for a torn pectoral muscle yesterday. And it's a big loss for them. The Patriots re-signed defensive tackle Andre Neblett, who had been released last week. But Gerard Mayo, a captain, injured in the fourth quarter. The Patriots win over the Saints on Sunday. He had surgery on a torn pectoral muscle, and he is out the rest of the year. Minnesota Vikings have named Josh Freeman their starting quarterback for this Sunday. He'll start Monday night against the New York Giants. Freeman went from being benched and released by Tampa Bay to the starting quarterback for Minnesota in only 9 days. I mean, pretty amazing. He replaces Matt Cassel, who started the last two games for Minnesota. Cassel, now the team's number three quarterback, Christian Ponder, will back up Josh Freeman. Matt Schaub did not practice today for the Houston Texans. Houston coach Gary Kubiak has yet to decide on a starting quarterback. Matt Schaub probably not an option. T.J. Yates and Case Keenum split reps with the first team in Wednesday's practice for the Houston Texans. Kubiak said, "I believe in both of them. They both understand our offense." And if you thought Peyton Manning would ramp up the rhetoric and the firestorm involving his current coach and former owner, guess again. There was a conference call with Indianapolis reporters today. Obviously, Denver getting set to go to Indianapolis, Peyton Manning returning to Indy. And you probably saw the comments from Colts owner Jim Irsay, who told USA Today this week that his team, quote, changed the model a little bit because they wanted more than one ring the franchise won during Peyton Manning's 14-year run. That was a statement that got John Fox all riled up. The Denver coach said it was a cheap shot at his star quarterback. Well, Peyton Manning said today, quote, "I don't have anything to say about either one of those." Interesting stuff. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to the new quarterback on the Buffalo Bills roster, who has had his share of controversy moving around the league a little bit, from the Green Bay Packers, then last year to Seattle, and then this past April to Oakland, and now to the Buffalo Bills. Matt Flynn just signed to the roster on Monday of this week. He'll be joining us when we return. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive. And joining us in studio, the quarterback who just arrived about 3 or 4 days ago, quarterback Matt Flynn. Thanks very much for coming by, Matt. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Is your head spinning? You just signed the other day. You've been in meetings and practice, first day of practice today. Is your head still spinning?
Not too bad. A little bit this morning, you know, just jumping into it because, you know, you go straight into install and you're talking about all this stuff and trying to slow down and really kind of write down everything he's saying. But, you know, at this point of the season, they're going fast and everything like that. So, you know, you just got to take a minute and collect your thoughts and just get back to what you're learning. But it's going good.
I was thinking it must be almost like trying to hop a train when it's moving down the tracks, right?
Right. It's not the same thing as, you know, coming in an off season or something. Right. And, you know, they start from square one and kind of walk you through it. Right now it's, you know, jumping in there full speed, feet first. So it's challenging. But, you know, it's basically, you know, similar system I've run. It's just a different way to call it. So it's learning the terminology, forgetting your past terminology because – you know, that kind of screws you up a little bit.
You got in here on Monday, and I'm obviously met with Nathaniel Hackett and the offensive coaches. And even though they're trying to get you up to speed, they're also Monday and Tuesday are big game plan days for them, right?
Yeah, you know, I didn't get a whole lot of, you know, one-on-one time with Coach Hackett or anything, just because, you know, those are huge game plan days. You know, I understood that coming in. It's you know, they gave me the install, gave me the offense, and, you know, been just been kind of studying it the best I can by myself. And but really today was probably the biggest learning that I had just hearing plays called at the on the field and actually getting to see it instead of just looking at a piece of paper. So I picked up more, you know, just today sitting there and watching than I have the past couple of days. So.
Were you able to get any snaps in practice today at all?
No, not today. I just kind of sat back and watched and, you know, I went out to practice today and, you know, didn't even really know how they call the play in the huddle or the snap count or anything. So, you know, it was good to go out there and see it. So, no snaps today. And that's kind of the idea right now is just kind of watch and kind of take it in for the first day or so.
You mentioned how the terminology is something you have to learn. How about the no huddle pace? Is that something you're comfortable with? You've worked in that in the past?
I've worked no huddle. I wouldn't say this type of no huddle. This type of no huddle is a lot less verbiage than before. Kind of no huddle I've been in the past is kind of, you know, hurry up and then wait a little bit, and you're calling everything out. It's just a little bit different, but, you know, I like the thought process behind what we're doing here.
Talking with quarterback Matt Flynn, just signed to the Buffalo roster a couple of days ago. 4 years with Green Bay, backing up Aaron Rodgers. What did you learn from that experience, Matt? What did you learn from Aaron Rodgers?
Well, that was, you know, that was a crucial experience for me as a quarterback. You know, I grew so much in that first 4 years as a quarterback, just sitting, watching, spending 8-9 hours a day with Aaron. You know, because for 4 years we only had two quarterbacks on the roster, so we spent a lot of time with each other. We, you know, worked with each other and just kind of had a good mesh. So I would sit back, watch him, watch his footwork, watch everything. You know, learn from some great offensive coaches and quarterback coaches. So. It's just my progression. You know, I grew so much as a quarterback. Each year I felt like I was better, more prepared, and a different quarterback than I was the year before.
When you talk about learning from offensive coaches, I think of Mike McCarthy, who does a pretty good job with the quarterbacks, all the quarterbacks he's had, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Coach McCarthy, Joe Philbin, and our quarterback coach, Tom Clements, you know, all had, you know, to me, a very important part in my growth.
When you had Coach Philbin, and of course he's coaching the Dolphins now, head coach of the Dolphins, did you think he had what it would take to be an NFL head coach when you had him in Green Bay?
Absolutely. You know, I think very highly of Coach Philbin. Always had a good relationship with him in Green Bay, and you know, I think we all knew that he was a very, very smart coach, very intelligent, had good command of our offense when, you know, when speaking to them. And everybody, you know, liked him and respected him. So, you know, I, when I heard that he was, you know, up for some head coaching jobs, you know, I felt pretty confident that he would do a nice job.
It meant while you were in Green Bay, you got a chance to start a few games, including in your third year in 2010, December, you got your first start against the Patriots and threw three touchdown passes. Things went pretty well on your first NFL start.
Yeah, that was a good experience. You know, I've always been a very self-confident person. But to go out there and actually be able to put it on the field, you know, it was a Sunday night game under the lights and in New England in December, cold weather. It was a big – and that was the year we made the Super Bowl run and, yep. and won it. And so that was a very important game for us. You know, we ended up losing it at the end. But, you know, for me and for my teammates around me, I think everybody else, you know, had confidence in me and knew I could – you know, go in there and step in and get the job done.
And then it was a while before you got your next start. Was that tough after getting that taste of being the man to kind of, even though it's Aaron Rodgers, to to sit behind him for another year or so?
You know, everybody in this league wants to play, you know, obviously. But it knowing that it is Aaron Rodgers, the best guy, to me, the best guy in the game, I wasn't sitting back there, you know, thinking to myself, man, I should be playing right now. It was, you know, I took it as, you know, I still have a lot of things to improve on, and I'm going to sit back and learn. This is an opportunity that not many people get as quarterbacks, to sit back and learn, not have to be, you know, thrown into the fire unprepared. And I was just trying to be a sponge every day.
That's the chance that Aaron Rodgers got. I mean, it worked pretty well for him. He had to sit behind Favre for a while, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, to me, that's, in my opinion, that's the best way to go, to sit back and learn and, you know, not get, you know, throw into the Lions then too soon.
The next time you started, obviously, the finale in 2011 season against Detroit, 480 yards, six touchdown passes. The timing could not have been better for you at that point.
Yeah,
right?
I think the stars were aligned pretty well. You know, that year it was we were 13-0 going into Kansas City, and then we ended up getting beat. And, you know, we all wanted to – we are all chasing that 16-0, you know, but if we didn't lose to Kansas City, I would have never started, you know, that last game, because we'd already locked up the number one seed. And that last game of the season, they decided to rest Aaron and play me, and that just so happened to be my, you know, last game on my fourth year of my time in Green Bay. So it was just one of those games where, you know, we both offenses were playing great, and it just felt like everything was clicking, and you were in the zone. The whole, you could see the entire field. Everything was slowed down. You could see just every open person out there. And
was that at Lambeau or in Detroit?
It was at Lambeau last game. I think it was January 1st. Yeah. It was, you know, we go out there before the game, warm it up, and we're like, oh, man, of course. I get one start, and it's 15 degrees and 25-mile-an-hour wind. And for some reason, it was like that during the game. For some reason, both offenses, we just had it rolling. I don't know.
After that game, after 4 years in Green Bay, were you ready to move on? Were you ready to kind of, you know, plant your own flag with an NFL team?
Yeah, absolutely. I was very confident in myself, and you know, had aspirations to be a starter, be a leader of a team, a leader of men, and you know, have a chance to go out there and be that guy. And I got a chance. I got two chances, and for whatever reason, they just didn't work out. It wasn't the right mesh. It wasn't the right timing. It wasn't the right opportunity. And but, you know, I still have dreams of that, but, you know, also understand this business too. So it's one thing that I've never lost confidence in myself. I believe I can still go out there and do the job and do it very well. So just something you keep working, and things work out, they work out. But it's you go out there and do the best you can and control what you can control, and that – you know, if you do that, you can sleep well at night.
Was there pressure that accompanied the contract in Seattle and making that move to Seattle? Did you feel like, I got to live up to this deal?
No, I didn't feel any pressure, really. Just went out there and played. I mean, I went there knowing that it was going to be a competition. They never once told me that they were going to give me the keys to the car or anything. I knew it was going to be competition, and, you know, I went out there and played the best I could and prepared the best that I could. You know, had a little bit of an injury in that preseason, which didn't help anything. But, you know, guy came in, Russell Wilson came in, played great, took advantage of his opportunity. They gave him the chance, and he didn't let it go. And obviously, he had a great year, and he's a great player.
What's that like when you see that happen? When almost, I mean, I guess through no fault of your own, you see somebody else excel, and you're like, that guy's playing well, and he's taking the job that I wanted. How does that feel? What is that like?
You know, that's a good question. It's definitely frustrating because that's the job you want. I went in there with the mindset, you know, to me, my mindset is, this is my job. It's my job. I have to play like it's my job, play with that confidence, play with that swagger, take command. And then when you have the mindset like that, then it gets taken away from you. You know, obviously it's hard to take and disappointing, but at the end of the day, you know, you have a job to do, and you got to go out there and do the job the best you can. You got to prepare. You got to be ready, because you never know when you're going to go in. You could have to go in the middle of the game on third and long and down by five or whatever it is. You always have to be ready. You owe that to yourself. It's your job. You owe it to your teammates.
Hey, Matt, we know the game is physically taxing. I mean, the injury lists come out every day during the week, and we talk about injuries all the time. Do we outsiders underestimate the mental toll that it would take? And I think about what you went through in Seattle, the situation you talked about, getting released by Oakland a couple weeks ago, you know, flying out here on a Sunday night to try to, you know, stick on the Buffalo Bills roster. It's got to be hard mentally to kind of stay upbeat, to stay confident, to perform at your best when you're kind of, you know, buffeted by all this stuff going on.
You know, it is. You know, mentally, to me, this game's, you know, 90% mental. Whether it's mentally focused, whether it's mentally tough, being prepared, being upbeat, being knowing your playbook, being smart, everything. You know, most of it's, you know, between the ears. And it's not easy. That's why not everybody, you know, can do it. Not everybody can make changes. Not everybody can learn systems and things like that. So, it's definitely tough, but you know, you have to sit back and kind of look in the mirror and know that if I control what I can control, don't try to control what other people are thinking. Don't kind of try to control or get down about what other people are thinking and what other people are doing, and you'll be just fine. I'm trying to, you know, go out there and be the best that I can. I know that I have to stay confident no matter what happens, because this is a position that if you play it with no confidence, then you're not going to have a lot of success.
Last question for you. What can you bring to this Buffalo Bills team this week and maybe into the future? What do you think you can help with here?
Well, I have, you know, I just have a lot of experience, in the game. I've seen been in a lot of great offenses and know the game. You know, I feel like I know the game pretty well. I'm going to try to pick up the offense as best I can. You know, to me, I feel like I'm physically capable of, you know, making all the throws and making all the reads and just, you know, being a good quarterback. So that's just something I'm going to live with and keep grinding every day.
Best of luck to you. Thanks for doing this.
Appreciate it.
Quarterback Matt Flynn of the Buffalo Bills, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again to Matt Flynn, Bills quarterback, for joining us. One of four quarterbacks on the roster today. He's got an interesting story to tell, and not necessarily a happy story over the last, year and a half or so. I found myself kind of rooting for the guy today after we spoke, and he didn't get a chance, as he said, to take any reps in practice today, but we'll see how long he sticks around. As you heard the news at the top of the hour, E.J. Manuel's going to miss 4 to 6 more weeks. So you wonder, you know, for guys like Matt Flynn or Jeff Toole or even Thad Lewis at this point, you wonder what the future holds. I mean, for the immediate future, it appears that it's Thad Lewis' job, but we'll see how this plays out. It doesn't look like Matt Flynn's going to be ready to play this Sunday. He didn't get any snaps at all today. At any rate, our thanks to him for joining us tonight and talking about his, 14, 18 months of upheaval from, to all the way from Seattle to the Raiders, and prior to that, the big free agent deal with the Seahawks. Well, okay, we talked in the first hour about defense, the Buffalo Bills defense. Is it improved? Our producer, Russ Burton, points out last year the Bills' takeaway turnover at the end of the year, they were minus 13. Right now, six games in this year, they are plus 3. So that's improvement. That's significant improvement with obviously a long way to go. We've had a couple of other tweets on this issue as well. Sal Alessi tweets in, Bills' defense, one of the worst in the AFC. Mario plays every other week. Darius and Kyle Williams' play is poor. He also says Alonzo, Leonard, and Branch are playing the best on defense. Nick tweets in, the defense looks better, but stopping the run is always bad. Cornerback play is still questionable. They still need a number two corner and better defensive back depth. I do think that depth is coming with Ron Brooks working his way back into the lineup, with Jarris Bird coming back, with Stephon Gilmore now getting a full turn of practice. I do think defensive backfield depth is going to take care of itself this week, if not next week for sure. But it's an interesting thought, though. Is the Buffalo defense a whole lot better than they were a year ago? I don't know. Just yet, I don't know. I do think they have potential, once they're healthy, to be a lot better. And I do look forward to that coming up. All right, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour, and then coming up in the next hour, Steve Tasker will join us. He will be the color analyst on the CBS TV broadcast of the Bills and the Dolphins this Sunday. Steve Tasker coming up next hour. We're also going to hear from Buffalo News reporter and editor Bud Bailey about his book, Today in Buffalo Sports History. That's all coming up in hour two of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's going to the house. He's doing it again. My man. Touchdown, Buffalo.
I like this kind of party, baby.
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
Just being able to go out there and move, you know what I'm saying, get the herky jerk back.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd is absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We're at One Bills Drive on this Wednesday night. The Bills and the Miami Dolphins coming up Sunday, and part of the CBS crew that will be televising that game joins us. Bills Hall of Famer, or Wall of Famer, Steve Tasker. Thanks for coming by, Steve.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Murph. It's good to be here.
Your first look at the Bills since preseason, since those four preseason games. Got to be good for you to do a Bills game, because you are really familiar with what's going on.
Yeah, and I was actually at the game last Sunday, the Bengals game, because I had a week off from CBS. And, of course, I watch every game, you know, recorded. But it is nice to do their games. I enjoy it, and it's, you know, it's fun.
You know, it's been a while since that last preseason game, since the end of August. Tell me what you think has happened since then. We haven't really talked to you about this Bills team. How do you think have they fulfilled your expectations from that last preseason game?
In some ways, they've exceeded them, and in other ways, you know, you wish they'd played a little better. I think that, you know, the quarterback spot's been in flux. I mean, EJ was playing steady and making some slow progress. I think CJ and Freddie are crucial to the team. I think Doug Marrone told us that in the preseason, but I think it's proven to be true. Can you imagine where they'd be without those two guys?
You know, they run the ball more than anybody in the NFL.
And they run it effectively. I think Thad Lewis actually helped him in Cincinnati. Thad, with his ability to pull it out, and like EJ would have. But I think with Thad, I think that, you know, it's easy enough to have the guy just keep it and run it rather than go back and have him make some reads and maybe throw the interception. I think the thing that, you know, that's made us competitive in all these games has been the fact that we've been able to run the football with those two guys, Freddie and CJ. And I think that's been the biggest, you know, linchpin for the whole team, really.
I like the way they run the ball, and they continue to run the ball against pretty good run fronts. Carolina, Jets, Baltimore, Cleveland, Cincinnati, they're up against some really good run fronts, and they don't back down. They still try to run the ball.
One reason they've been able to do that is because of the play of the quarterbacks. They haven't been turning it over. And you get these teams that, you know, well, like Baltimore against the Buffalo Bills. They couldn't run the football because, you know, Joe Flacco threw five interceptions. And other teams, you look around the league, the ones that are turning it over, like Houston, they can't run the football. They're turning it over. And I think, and look at the teams that are really playing well, the ones that don't turn it over, all like Kansas City, you know, they're in every game. And, you know, Doug Marrone had a great stat this week. We'll talk about it on the show later. You know, there's two teams that have scored 20 points in every game this season, the Denver Broncos and the Buffalo Bills. And that's a testament to, you know, the fact that they're a very well-balanced team. Although, you know, we'd like to see them play better. You know, they get about the same contribution from every part of their team every week.
Steve Tasker joins us. He'll be on the CBS crew calling the Bills and the Dolphins with Bill McAtee, right, on Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock kickoff. Hey, Thad Lewis, I think, took some people by surprise with his performance against the Bengals. What did you think?
I thought he was really poised. I was very surprised. I think he got off to a great start. That opening drive was great. He running it in on the quarterback keeper was a great touch to end the drive. The long play down the sidelines to T.J. Graham to start things off was a great boost for the offense and their confidence, and it set him up for some success later. And the throw he had to Chandler for the touchdown, I thought was a great read, a great call by Nate Hackett. And you know, from what I heard, you know, Nate tipped him off, said, "Hey, here's what we could get. Look for it." And it turned out he got exactly what he was expecting. And so I think for me, I thought Thad Lewis acquitted himself extremely well. I thought he played a little bit the style we saw in the preseason game. We got a brief look at him when he played the last three quarters of that preseason game. He shows some things. I like him, and I expect, you know, it's my view now, after that game, he'll be a Buffalo Bill for a while.
The news came out today that EJ's still 4 to 6 weeks away from returning. They can win some games with Thad Lewis at quarterback, though. I think that became clear last Sunday.
Absolutely, right? And I think they can. And I think, you know, the fact they brought Matt Flynn in knows that, you know, they're thin. I mean, let's face it. They had lost their two top quarterbacks for extended amount of time. They couldn't have lost them any worse time. I mean, you know, Kevin Cobb goes down his second preseason game, and man, you're stuck. And now you've been working with him all offseason. You bring in, and now and Jeff Toole, you know, he played pretty well. In fact, he played almost too well for them to sneak him onto the practice squad. So they had to activate him, and so they got caught a little bit by some bad luck, and you know, but that's the way the NFL is. When you're part of that group that is going to have a quarterback who runs the football occasionally, you're occasionally going to put yourself at risk to lose him.
Hey, Steve, on the defensive side of the ball for the Bills, and I know you keep pretty close track of this, they're still giving up a lot of rushing yards, but they are producing turnovers. They are getting sacks. It's almost like they can't put everything in place defensively to play a solid, complete defensive game.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it's a team. And I'll tell you what, though, I'd rather have them allow rushing yards and get turnovers than to stop the run and never get a turnover. I think it's a much better way to play defense. I think that around the league, when I go out, the teams that win are the ones that can get after the quarterback and can get turnovers. You know, rushing yard teams, particularly a team like Buffalo who's scoring, you know, 20 points a game or more than 20 points a game, teams are going to have to throw the football eventually to keep up. And if you don't turn it over, they've got to be, the other team has to be efficient in their possessions to score and get points out of it. And you saw that in Cincinnati. They were pretty good at that. But, when, you know, the Bills are good enough now. I don't know if they've been that way in the past, but if a team like Cincinnati lets their foot off the gas, Buffalo's back in it with Thad Lewis at quarterback. I mean, you know, the two touchdowns he threw were solid plays.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't flukes. And I think it's a testament to how well this team's coached and the fact that they are coached well enough not to make mistakes. And I think lack of mistakes is always a sign of good coaching.
I'm sure you keep an eye on the Bills' special teams, and it was sort of a big week for teams last week when they went out and signed Brian Moorman, let Sean Powell go. Tell me about that move, what you expect they'll get from Brian Moorman, and the difference it makes to get a proven punter like Moorman back in the lineup.
Well, I agree. I think he's you're not going to show him anything he hasn't seen. He's never going to make the schizo play. He's never going to tuck it when he should punt it. He's still got enough of a leg, particularly you saw it last week. I mean, he's hitting those balls. He had the last punt was a 5-0 hang time. I mean, you got to cover that.
Yeah.
And so I think it was a good move. I think you picked the right guy. He's obviously excited to be back here to play for the Bills, and I think it's a guy he's very dependable. Now, long term, how long can Brian play? I mean, but by the same token, you know, there's nobody else that, you know, that you could depend on who knows this place like he does. I think it's a smart move.
On that last punt, the 29-yarder that basically set up the Bengals to win the game, what did you see there? I mean, Duke Williams, one of the gunners, kind of got knocked to the ground, and they almost sat on him for a while. Marcus
Easley.
Well, go ahead. What did you see?
I thought it was a block in the back. But
on Duke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Down low on the screen. I thought it the day it happened. I was surprised they didn't call it, but that's the officials being human beings. I mean, they don't want to throw themselves in, but I think that's a call that's got to be made. They had him hemmed in, and
they had him hemmed in.
Easley came up, and yeah, they just had a little gap between them. And you know, the Tate's a good runner. I mean, he made one hard cut and got past those first line, and then all bets were off. The Bengals did a nice job up front. The Bills had different levels in their coverage, and Tate was able to find gaps in it. And when he's got a full head of steam, guys are trying to catch up to him. Sanborn's the guy that ran him out of bounds. I mean, you're long snapper, and too many guys got knocked off on that. They needed to get him hemmed in. And I think, guys, you got to – when you cover a punt like that in a crucial situation like that, you got to make the guy try and get around you knowing he's never going to get there. So when you get up the field and, like, wall him off, you know, you're leaving yourself open for him to cut up inside you. If there's nobody there, you're stuck. So I think, you know, you got to get to the point where you don't try and make the tackle. You try and herd the guy like he's a flock of sheep. and you take all his angles, because when he stops and has to change direction and then stops again and has to change direction, your coverage is covered 10 yards closer to you. That half second is 10 yards in coverage time. And I think that's what happened to him. He got loose on that first front line, and there was just nobody back there.
As a former special teamer, do you get frustrated when you see what's happening with kickoffs? I mean, the Bills have not had an opportunity to do anything in the kick return game this year.
Not too many people have.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's unprecedented. You got guys bringing it out 9 yards deep and 8 yards deep and
not
7 yards
deep. Not a
good idea? No. You're getting tackled inside the 20 every time.
Even if you're Marquise Goodwin, don't bring it out?
No, there's no reason to. The problem is this. I see that the difference as a return guy. You want to bring those out once in a while, because if you don't bring it out, don't bring it out, don't bring it out, don't bring it out, then the guy drops one on the 2 yard line or 1 yard deep. Well, the guys in front of you are like so used to not having to work at that play, they look back and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, he's bringing it out. Well, it's done then. And now the cut, now you're blocking up front, it's all wasted. It's really. I hate the mess it's in right now. They're not going to do anything to take it away.
You're talking about the league.
The league.
Yeah.
They're not going to do anything to take it away now, that philosophically. I spoke to Jeff Fisher, and he's on that competition committee. And I said, are you going to do anything with that? And he's like shaking his head saying, no, they ain't doing anything with it. So they're going to keep the kickoff in, and it's become kind of a throwaway.
The league is happy with it. They say they have numbers to show it reduces.
It's tangible evidence that they're doing something for the safety of the game. And I get it. Okay. But, do something that makes it more exciting, too.
Yeah, right. I think they've taken a big part of the game.
Absolutely.
Right now.
It's big, and I don't have a problem with it, because you're right. It's a dangerous play. They're correct. It is a dangerous play. But by the same token, I think it's if you're talking about the history of the game and something that's been around for you got to do something to make it relevant.
Steve Tasker is with us. He's calling the CBS broadcast of the Bills and the Dolphins. Have you had a Dolphins game yet this year, Steve?
I have not had a Dolphins game. I've obviously watched them, watched the replay of some of their broadcasts and watched some of their games condensed. And they're a good football team. And you look at Tannehill, their quarterback, every major way of quantifying a quarterback, he's improved from last year. Not a quantum leap, but certainly improved. And he was a guy who impressed some people last year with his ability to, deliver the football. And he's a little better in the pocket, a little better in his completion percentage, a little quicker reactions in the pocket to get rid of the ball a little quicker, and a little fewer interceptions and a few more completions. So he's better on all counts, but he hasn't hit it out of the park yet, and he's not afraid to take it down the field. And he still makes a couple of mistakes you'd like to see him not make, but by the same token, he's better than he was a year ago, and he's doing it with probably an offensive line that's performing more poorly.
Have you seen them get much out of Mike Wallace yet? I know Wallace was not happy early in the year.
They got a good play from him against Baltimore. They got him loose. But there's a couple of things that happened. Tannehill will drop back, and he'll come to him late. Wallace is so fast, Tannehill had him for a couple of touchdowns, and the fact that Wallace is so fast, he outruns it. The play takes so long, and Tannehill will come back to him so late, he'll air it out. But by that time, Mike Wallace is deep and he is in the clear, but he has to wait on the football to get there because, a guy with his speed, you really can outrun guys' arms, and that's what he's doing for Tannehill. But he did make the catch and made a couple of catches. There's no question they want to get him involved, and he's got unbelievable speed. So, defenses really know where he's at, and, as much as anything, taking away his ability to perform deep.
The Dolphins' defense still pretty solid, and they add Danelle Ellerbe, who seems to found a home in the middle of that defense.
They've had some injury problems. Dansby's been nicked up a little bit. Ellerbe's coming back. Patterson, their cornerback, who had two picks early in their opener, has been out since then with a shoulder. They're getting some guys healthy, as you'd expect, coming off the bye week. They're going to get a little healthier, and they'll be as healthy as they've been since opening day. But they've been, these guys that are coming back are haven't been playing either. So it remains to be seen how effective they'll be. But certainly the Dolphins feel better about their defense lining up healthier than it's been for a while.
You mentioned the Dolphins coming off the bye week. Next week the Bills play at the Saints, who are coming off a bye week. It's a big issue, I guess. Huh? I mean, I know coaches don't like it.
I think there's three teams that the Buffalo Bills play that are coming off their bye. And I think the Chiefs after that are coming off their bye week as well. Maybe that's – I think it is. I think that's the case. The Chiefs are coming off their bye week when the Bills play them, or at least coming off. There's a couple, three other teams are coming off a Thursday night, so they got 10 days. It's an absolute huge issue. I think that it's, believe me, nobody's conspiring to make that happen to one team in the league. The Buffalo Bills are just the recipients of bad luck, but I'm sure it's something the league will look at in the future to make sure it doesn't happen to anybody, because it's tough to beat a team coming off the bye week. They're fresh, they're rested, and in a league where there's only a 2% difference between the best teams and the worst teams, you get two teams that are evenly matched, that 2% is taken over by fresh legs and a week of rest and health.
Of all the games you've done so far this year on CBS, which team has, or in the radio too, which the you do a Monday night package, right,
yeah,
on CBS?
Monday nights, I do Sunday nights as well.
Yeah, yeah. Which team has been most impressive to you?
The Seattle Seahawks are very good. When I saw this Cincinnati Bengals team play Pittsburgh early in the season, of course, we didn't know how Pittsburgh was going to fare then.
Yeah.
It looked like they looked very good. Certainly, Atlanta looks pretty good when they're at home. And, of course, New England is just too tough to beat. They just make too few mistakes, and they make big plays when they need it the most. But I think the deepest, most talented team that I have seen has been the Seattle Seahawks. I made the comment on the air that they're so deep at every position, Pete Carroll needs a snorkel. I mean, they are really loaded at a lot of positions. And, of course, it all comes down to Russell Wilson. If he can stay healthy, it almost sounds crazy to say, as good as he is, he may be the weak link for them. Because they're so good in their defensive backfield and up front, and they're so gifted on their offensive line and their wide receiving core. I mean, they've got some guys, and they're deep as well. All their backups are quality guys that would play in a lot of places.
And tell me, you said you've done a lot of Jacksonville games. Is
yes.
that the worst team you've seen this year?
Yeah, they're struggling. And the thing about it is, they gutted their roster last year on a team that wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Now, there's no question they hit on a couple of draft picks. Cyprian, their safety that they took, is a pretty good player. Luke Jokel is a good player, the tackle they took number one overall or number two overall. They've got some good players. Maurice Jones-Drew is not the same player he was 2 years ago. He's in his eighth year, and a guy who's run the ball 300 times a year in his career. So he's not ready to be the horse that carries them anymore. I think they've been looking to see if they could find out about Blaine Gabbert at quarterback, and unfortunately for them, I think they have. He's not their guy. Chad Henney's going to take snaps for them and go the rest of the way probably. So they're going to start from scratch there again. But they brought in seven new players week one of the regular season. They've scoured the waiver wire and brought in seven players, signed them immediately, and they felt they were upgraded. So they've got some problems with depth and also some frontline players who just aren't good enough.
Steve, as we tape this on Wednesday evening, you're getting set for your radio show on Sirius XM NFL Radio, No Huddle Show, right?
That's correct. Me and Andre are on tonight.
Yeah, tell us about that show.
Well, it's about the Buffalo Bills. And to my knowledge, it's the only radio show on national radio with Sirius XM NFL that's dedicated to one team, and it's the Bills. They approached Jim Kelly and I and Andre at the Super Bowl this past offseason in New Orleans and said, we'd like to do it, and I didn't really think they were serious.
Well, they are serious.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I didn't think they were. Yeah, I thought they were kidding.
Yeah.
But they said no, and they pursued it through the off season. And I said, yeah, I'll host it, and you get Jim to come on or Thurman, and we'll do it. And we do it here from One Bills Drive live
from our studio.
Yeah, from this studio we're in right now, and it's gone very well. I need some experience doing the host thing of getting us in and out of breaks and making sure everything sounds smooth. I'm still working on that, but. Jim and Kelly and I have a lot of fun because he's sitting right here with me, and I bust on him constantly because we're such good friends, and he loves it. He has no problem with it. You know Jim.
Yeah.
And nobody thinks less of Jim than Jim, really, when you get down to it. And so we've had a lot of fun with it, and it is – you know how it is, Murph. You talk about the Bills, and you live here in Western New York. It's a pretty easy subject to keep going on about.
And you know what else? I'm sure you get calls from all over the country, all this
Absolutely.
Bills fans from every corner of the United States.
Absolutely. We get a lot of Bills calls from, like Foxborough and New Jersey, Miami, and even down, we'll get people from the South calling in. I mean, that we really get total calls from all over the country about the Bills when they catch us on Sirius XM. So it's been a lot of fun. That's been a pleasant surprise.
Have fun with that. Thanks for doing this. We'll see you in Miami this week.
Absolutely, Murph. Looking forward to it. I'll see you down there.
Steve Tasker joining us. He's got the CBS telecast of the Bills and the Dolphins this Sunday. He and his partner, Bill McAdee, will call the game on TV. Of course, myself and Mark Kelso, Joe Biscaglio, will have the radio call, Bills and Dolphins, 1 o'clock kickoff. And our pregame coverage, Breakfast with the Bills, starts at 7 a.m. on our Buffalo flagship WGR Sports Radio 550. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Our thanks to Steve Tasker for joining us, spending a lot of time tonight. We're talking about the Buffalo Bills defense and where this defense is this year compared to a year ago. We also, there's other news today. We went through some of the injury news for the Bills on this Wednesday, first day back. And by now, you know, E.J. Manuel's going to be out at least another month, 4 to 6 weeks. Thad Lewis set to go, went through practice today, got through it no problem at all. It's also going to be the second consecutive start at left guard for Doug Legursky, who won the competition at left guard. With yesterday's release of Colin Brown, Legursky says this is what he was hoping for when he signed with the team back in June, and we had a chance to talk to Doug Legursky at his locker after practice today.
I'm excited to go out there and make some plays and contribute to the team to get some wins and get this stuff turned around.
Is that what you had it in the back of your mind when you signed here? I think it was right before the June minicamp, right?
Nobody's in this league to be a backup and, you know, to finally be able to go out there and, have a foothold in the starting lineup. It feels good.
You got your most extended work, 60 snaps or 58 or something like that last week. Just how did you feel it went for you?
It went good. You know, there's always a couple plays that you wish you had back. Nobody ever plays a perfect game, but I feel like, we did a good job, but not good enough to get the win, which is the most important part. So, no matter how good we play, if we don't get the W, then it doesn't matter. So, going forward, that's what we need to focus on.
You've had a few weeks back now since, from the injury. Physically, how you feeling?
I feel good. Going into the game, I wasn't worried about it at all during the game. It really didn't affect me very much at all. So, once you forget that you even have an injury while you're out there, that's what you're looking for. So it felt good during the game and good afterwards. So that's all I can ask for.
Doug, in a game in a position where there are giants, you are not one of them. Do you ever feel overlooked at all? I mean, gigantic man. No.
No, I like to call it short guy shout out. Little guys in there in the middle taking care of business. But, I was always one of the shortest guys around, everywhere I've been. So, I kind of take pride in it a little bit. But these guys clown on me a lot. So I got to deal with that more than I got to deal with, the media telling me I'm short.
I didn't tell him he was short, for the record, by the way. I really didn't. But he's surrounded. I mean, this is a very big offensive line that the Buffalo Bills have right here. And he's surrounded by big people. And, he stands out almost in a reverse sort of way. Listed on the roster is 6'1". He might be 6'1", but he does stand out for his short stature on a very big offensive line and a very big offensive line unit. All of them are pretty big. I asked Coach Marone about that. Coach Marone said, not an issue. If he can play, it's not an issue. But Doug Legursky looks like he'll settle in to be the left guard for the Bills the rest of the way. Let's take a phone call. We'll go to Anthony in Ontario. You're on the air. Anthony, hello.
Hi, John. My question is concerning the acquisition of Matt Flynn. And I know the Bills had worked out Pat White. And, with EJ being a mobile quarterback and now Thad Lewis being a mobile quarterback, do you not think it'd be better for us to have maybe gone the route of signing someone like Pat White who could sit behind Thad Lewis and learn the offense and then perhaps get an opportunity rather than Matt Flynn, who, from what I remember, doesn't seem to be all that mobile?
No, you're right. If mobility is the priority, then certainly Pat White would be the choice. Pat White hasn't played in the league in 4 years, 3+ years. He's only attempted five passes
in the preseason.
Yeah, he did. He looked okay against the Bills in preseason.
He looked real good against us, yeah.
Yeah, preseason is one thing. I just don't know that there's enough there, and especially in recent years, to kind of, hitch your wagon to Pat White, a guy who hasn't been in the league for a couple of years, hasn't taken a snap since 2009. He's only attempted five passes his whole career, at least with Matt Flynn. And you're right, maybe mobility isn't a strong suit. I don't think he's a statue back there, but at least he's played. He had a start a couple of weeks ago for the Oakland Raiders and, had a lot of action in preseason anyway for Seattle and played a little bit with Green Bay, not a whole lot. We're talking about fourth and fifth quarterbacks here. We're talking about the end of the bottom of the quarterback barrel league-wide. So there isn't a whole lot to choose from when you talk about Matt Flynn versus Pat White.
And I would think, just to be fair, Murph, on the Pat White point, most of the people he looked good against aren't on the Bills roster anymore.
Yeah. He was playing against twos and threes back then in the third week of August. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Bills and, in particular, Buffalo sports history. There's a new book out, Today in Buffalo Sports History. My friend Bud Bailey wrote it. He is a sports writer and editor at the Buffalo News. Today in Buffalo sports history, 366 days of milestones. You can phone in your comments and questions for Bud. He'll be with us live in our studio at One Bills Drive in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Coming to you live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're live at One Bills Drive, and thanks for tuning in on this Wednesday night, coming to you live from the press box at One Bills Drive. By the way, if you missed portions of tonight's show, Matt Flynn, the quarterback, we had him on the 7 o'clock hour. That interview is up right now at buffalobills.com/John Murphy Show. And our session with Steve Tasker just finished to go. That is also up right now at buffalobills.com/John Murphy Show. Thanks very much for tuning in. A brand new book that is in the bookstores right now in Buffalo. Today in Buffalo sports history, 366 days of milestones. The author, Bud Bailey, joins us in studio. He is an editor and sports reporter for the Buffalo News, a follower of Buffalo sports his entire life, covered it over the last 36 years. This, I mean, talk about a labor of love. You've lived most of these moments.
Yeah, it's easy to write about the stuff you've seen firsthand, John, and you were around with me for a lot of these games.
I was thinking, of all the times you and I have talked, and I've known you for decades, I don't think we've ever been on the radio together, have we?
No, we haven't. Amazing?
You're an
no.
old radio guy.
Yeah.
I am still an old radio
yeah.
guy. It's pretty amazing that we've never been on the radio together.
About time.
Yeah. The book is great, Bud. Thanks very much for writing it. It's an idea, I guess, that grew out of what you were doing a couple of years ago at the Buffalo News.
Well, the funny thing, John, is the best part is obviously the back cover with your blurb, and I'm really gracious. You were very gracious to write those nice words about it, and I thank you. But yeah, as I said in the credits, Steve Jones, who's the former executive sports editor, came up to me when the website was just getting going and saying, we need something that's there every day. And I had compiled a list of dates, and I had about 200 names or dates down, and I said, well, this is a starting point, but you know, those last 50 are going to be tough to research.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing like no baseball in Buffalo for the most part in the major league level in June and July. Some of those are going to be tough, but let me give it a try. So I did it, and I just kept finding things, and obviously you're going to cover the dates that are going to be famous. This week is the anniversary the Bills got granted an AFL franchise back in 1959 under Ralph Wilson, who's still here. But you go back and you just keep finding these little things that Buffalo played such an important role in. I didn't know until I read it in a couple of books and put it in this book that Hank Aaron was signed after playing in a Negro League game at Riverside Park, of all places, for the Indianapolis Clowns, which were based out of Buffalo. I didn't know that the reserve clause was started in a meeting of the National League in Buffalo in 1879. I didn't know that the International League formally wrote down a color line, it was called at the time, to prevent African Americans from playing in international games. The players that were already there were grandfathered in, which there are only a few, but it was the first time it had ever been written down then in a baseball league's bylaws, professional baseball league, that African Americans couldn't play. It's just startling. You know, we forget Buffalo was one of the top 10 cities in terms of population more than a century ago. And a lot of things happened here. So it goes on and on.
Bud Bailey, our guest, his book is Today in Buffalo Sports History. If you have comments or questions for Bud over the next couple of minutes, phone lines open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The book is organized like a calendar. It's chronological,
right?
January 1st to December 31st.
And everybody looks up his or her birthday first. Yes. It never fails.
Yeah, they traded Daryl LaMonica away on my birthday. But today is an interesting day. Back in 1937, October 16th, talk about what that meant in Buffalo sports history.
Well, oddly enough, my wife's birthday was the day Rich Stadium opened. Today was the first major event at War Memorial Stadium. Colgate played Tulane, an intersectional game, and back then Colgate was pretty darn good and could play in a game like that, and they brought it to Buffalo as a big intersectional game in 1937. And it's a long time, and we think about that. The Rock Pile opened in 37 and was pretty useless by 1973 in some ways. Obviously, the Bisons went on and played there a little bit after that, but by NFL standards, it was gone. Well, how long is this stadium here, the Ralph, been open now? Since 1973 to 2013, it's now older than War Memorial.
Wow. It certainly doesn't look it.
No. It's been fixed up a few times.
Yeah. Your wife's birthday must be August 17th?
You're correct.
I was here. I was sitting right over there in the end zone, and tell folks what – were you here that day?
No, my mother was.
Okay. You know what happened, how it all started.
My wife got here – or my mother got here in the second quarter. She got caught up in the horrific traffic jam. Her seats, as we're in the press box, were on the other side in the next to last row in the upper deck. And she got there and obviously missed her Mulkey's kickoff return that started the game, went all the way back for a touchdown. But she's got in the second quarter and was afraid that she was going to be blown over the edge because she'd never been that high in a stadium before.
I was, same day, August 17th, 1973, I was 16 years old, walking out a tunnel at the scoreboard end, looking this way towards the tunnel end, and the first thing I saw looking at the field, and we just made it because of the traffic, first thing I saw was Herb Mulkey running up the sideline with the opening kickoff, 103 yards.
Wow.
Amazing way to start open a stadium.
Yeah, it really was, and even if it didn't count, it was a great way to start it for at least the Redskins.
Yeah. Are there any dates on the Buffalo sports calendar that it was difficult to choose just one event? Is there any day that kind of stands out where a lot happened?
You know, I'd have to look. I took a number of other events in which I put notes in, and I added it up just before we went to press, and there were 366 other events that I put down. But some have five, some have zero. But the day that probably was the toughest decision, and I only took one for the major highlight, I think was April 14th, because it was the last day the Sabres played at home in the Odd, April 14th, 1996. And it was the first day, a few years earlier, obviously, the Bisons played at home when Pilot Field opened in 1988, was it? Yeah, something like that.
Yes.
Both the same day. So how do you choose between the closing and opening? Well, I went with the closing partly because I was there, partly it was really the end of an era, and the Odd really meant so much to so many people because so many events were over there. But that's a coin flip.
Struck me as I read the book, Bud, how many significant days there were in all the Buffalo sports in the month of April. You wouldn't think that.
Yeah, it's funny, but the Sabres had momentous playoff games happen, and it leaked a little into May, into June, but obviously all the first-round games start there. And then you go into other places. The Braves had some playoff games in the month of April. The Bills have had several drafts in that month. The old Buffalo baseball team in the National League in the 1880s started up then. You know, the season started back then. So April's pretty busy. Obviously, September and October are very busy. October is where we've been running around like crazy at the Buffalo News lately just because it's October and you've got World Series games going on, plus the Bills, plus the Sabres, and all that. So it adds up pretty quickly.
This also struck me, too, as I read the book, Bud. And you and I, again, the same age. When we were young adolescents, 1969, 1970, those were heady times in Buffalo sports. When you think about an NHL team first, then an NBA team a couple of months later, coming to Buffalo back then, that was pretty amazing that went on.
Well, picture my vantage point, John. I was living in Elmira from 1965 to 1970, and my dad got transferred to Scott Aviation in Lancaster, and he said, well, the Bills are there, and they're talking about building a dome stadium up there. We all know what happened there. But the Braves and the Sabres are going to be playing there in the fall of 1970. I'm a kid who loves sports in Elmira. Elmira's biggest sport is AA baseball with the Pioneers. I'm saying, you know, I hate to say goodbye to my friends, but we got to go somewhere. This is the place to go, Mom and Dad. Let's pack up.
Yeah.
And I got here, and the dome stadium didn't work out, but I went to a very early Braves game. I remember seeing them play the Celtics, and my father was still a Celtics fan because he grew up in the Boston area, and we sat next to two drunken Celtics fans, and we were the only Celtics fans in Memorial Auditorium, of course, and the Celtics won, although I remember Emmett Bryan having a real nice game for the Braves, and I went to my first Sabres game in, I think, February, and Bobby Orr played. And Orr scored a spectacular breakaway goal in which Roger Crozier made a terrific save, and the puck came out the other way, and Orr just took it in his backhand and flipped it behind his back into the open net. And I'm saying to myself, what great, you know, wow, this is a great place to live. I'm having the time of my life here. And, we went to Bills games, and I went to the last game ever at War Memorial Stadium in December 1972 when they tied the Lions, and people were using blowtorches to get their seats out.
I've got two seats from War Memorial. I do. Not from that day, from post-Bison days.
Okay.
Bud Bailey is our guest. His book is Today in Buffalo Sports History, 366 Days of Milestones. I always tell people this is one of the toughest days in Bill's history. It has nothing to do with the game. It was February 11, 2000, and I was sitting in the newsroom at Channel 7, and you knew this day was coming, but on one day, John Butler had to release Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, and Bruce Smith. An amazing day.
You know, you talk about end of eras, and you always think of that as an obvious dividing line, and it's kind of like with the Sabres. The Sabres lost to the Penguins in 2001 in Game 7 in overtime. And it's the last we ever saw of Dominic Hasek and the last we ever saw of Doug Gilmore. and they just skated on the off the ice, never to return, and you kind of figured something might have been up in that case. And it was just like that. With the Bills, at least, it wasn't a game. It was just kind of an announcement that and we all kind of figured, well, it's got to happen sometime. But yeah, the three at once was pretty devastating, and it was certainly a curtain that came down on all those glory days that quite obviously the Bills are still trying to recapture.
You know, we focus, obviously, on this show about Bills football and focus on the NFL. And before the Bills, even back in 1958, NFL football had a presence in Buffalo.
Yeah,
right?
They used to play exhibition games every so often. And I was reading a biography last year on Lamar Hunt. And Lamar went to the NFL commissioner, Bert Bell, in the late 50s and said, I'm interested in getting an expansion team. And Bert said, the first team we've got is going to Buffalo. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with the Chicago Cardinals, but we're going to take care of Buffalo first, because Buffalo was left out when the All-American Football Conference folded into the NFL in 1950, and Buffalo was an obvious choice to get in and didn't make the cut for whatever reason and left everyone disappointed and stunned, and Buffalo was on the bubble. So Lamar Hunt said, well, if I got to wait this long, I'll just start my own league, which, you know, when you're Lamar Hunt and have a few dollars in the wallet, you can do that. And I had never heard that story, but several regular season games were played here during the 50s, just because it was available. And sometimes, like, the Pirates would be in the World Series or whomever, and they needed a place to play a game, because if you remember in Yankee Stadium, when the Giants and Yankees both played there in the 60s, the Giants couldn't play a home game until the Yankees were done with the season. So sometimes they had to go elsewhere just to find a game.
It's a really solid book, but did you think maybe this belongs in a calendar format, like a rip-off calendar format?
I thought of that, and Brian Meyer said, don't do calendars. You can take them and throw them out after Christmas. Nothing against that calendar idea, but a book will sell forever. Everything that's in there is permanent and true, and it obviously we have new things happening all the time that could go in later editions.
I got you.
But in the meantime, to have it as a permanent keepsake, as something of a reference book, as well as a chance to be nostalgic and maybe learn a few things, I think it all comes together better in that format than the calendar.
See, that's why you need Brian. He thinks of things like that.
He's been publishing these books for 25 years. he's got the smarts on it.
Do you have another book in the works, bud? What do you think?
I haven't thought about anything yet, but you never know. I'm open to suggestions. And somebody told me that this idea of doing day by day for a city is a very portable idea. You could go to New York, Boston, Philly, wherever, and have it, obviously even more things to choose from with baseball and football. But this is my home. I've been here since 1970. So and I've been at the games, and I'd be a little distant. So we'll never know. We'll have to see what comes up. The Ray book kind of came out of nowhere. I hung around Rob when I was covering the Sabres and thought he was a pretty good story as a person, and what it was like to be an enforcer and what sort of decisions he had to make along the way to become that. I thought he was lively enough to become a book, and geez, that book did very well. It was at one point the best-selling winter sports book in America, according to Amazon.com. And unfortunately, the publisher went bankrupt, so we're missing a few thousand dollars there. But that was a lot of fun, and it took a while just to get it out. But when it did, I think my thoughts were justified. So we'll see what happens. I'm open to suggestions.
This book is in all the local bookstores, actually.
Yes, it is. It's the big ones that you'd expect, plus BuffaloBooks.com is taking orders feverishly as we speak. So either way, you can send it out there and have them mail it to it or whatever.
Congratulations. Great
Thank
work.
Thank you.
Bud Bailey, the editor and sports writer for the Buffalo News. His book, Today in Buffalo Sports History, 366 Days of Milestones. I think it's almost an essential part of any Buffalo sports fan's library.
Can
Pretty
I
good
quote
stuff.
You on that?
Yes. You want to do another blurb? I can do that. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more of the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
A couple of minutes left in the show tonight. Again, we want to thank Bud Bailey, editor and sports writer for the Buffalo News. His book is Today in Buffalo Sports History, 366 Days of Milestones. Read it. Love it. You should pick it up. Makes a great Christmas gift, as they say. Here's a call from Rochester. Let's have trouble punching that up. Maybe Mike back at the studio can punch up that call from Rochester. No.
Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing? Who's this?
This is John from Rochester.
Hi, John. How are you?
Hey, is Bud still there?
Bud is still here, as a matter of fact.
Oh, great, great. Yeah, Bud, you know, I was wondering, there was a place kicker back in the 60s by the name of Booth Lustig who missed a 23-yard field goal to win the game against the San Diego Chargers. And after the game, supposedly he was so despondent, he left the stadium by himself in the dark and got the hell beat out of him.
Did you ever hear that story?
Yeah, I think they asked him about it, he said, I deserved it.
Yeah, exactly.
He was a little on the flighty side, as from what I've heard,
yeah, he
anecdotally.
He was a part-time actor, I guess.
Wow.
But the other thing is, how about Jim Kelly's the last game as the Bills? I was at that game, the Jacksonville game, playoff game. We were ahead. We should have won that game. And Jim got knocked out. He played on his feet, but he was sort of unconscious and still played well. And
yeah,
that was the last game of his career. Have you highlighted that in the book at all?
Yeah, I did. And I think it was Ken Hall's last game, too. And
yeah,
I believe I was here working it and walked out and saw them walk out together at the end. I said, this sure feels like the end of an era.
Yeah, it's tough when those eras end like that, especially like that. But, again, thank you. Some bonus time for you.
Thank you.
Great to have you. I'm glad you didn't go away. We had a question for you. I want to thank Bud. I want to thank our earlier guests tonight, including Matt Flynn, quarterback. He joined us during the 7 o'clock hour. And, of course, Steve Tasker, Bill's Wall of Famer, who is with us a little bit earlier on this hour. If you missed those interviews, you can always check them out at buffalobills.com/John Murphy Show. And if you're looking for an update on everything that happened at practice today with the Buffalo Bills, you can go to the website and check out buffalobills.com. Bill's Roundup, a video piece Chris Brown and I put together on today's news, including the news on E.J. Manuel out another 4 to 6 weeks. We want to thank our engineer tonight, Mike Jafari, our producer, the maestro, Russ Burton, and the Bills director of broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. Got a podcast tomorrow because of Sabres hockey, so tune in for that. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.